We have been looking at women of the Bible, and I changed up our story a little bit today from what it was supposed to be. We are going to be looking at the unlikely one. But the truth is, the Bible is full of unlikely ones. The people that you wouldn't expect God to work through, yet God does. Even our very own Savior came as a baby instead of the mighty king that they were expecting. The unlikely ones. I think maybe this room is filled with some unlikely ones. And so for our scripture today, I hope that you can connect with this woman's story. And I don't know my liturgist, so I'm excited to get to know you. David Byrd, would you come introduce? Oh, I do know you. David Byrd, would you come introduce our scripture?
Energetic bunch. Today's scripture is John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by the journey, was sitting by a Samaritan woman who came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." This be the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, David. I know your name now. There's a lot of you, okay? Give me some time. But I know one more name today. I love this story. It's one of my favorites in the Bible because I can relate to the woman that walks to the well at noon. I feel like I have been, probably still am, a very unlikely one for God to use. But I'm the one getting ready to give you the sermon today, so pay attention. Look what can happen. I ran into one of my absolute favorite high school teachers on Friday, and she said, "What are you doing now?" And I was like, "I'm a pastor." And she's the first person from my high school I've run into that I had to actually say it out loud to, "I'm a pastor." She was just lit with awe of, "Really?" And we kind of laughed, like, "I know, I'm not the one we thought would become a pastor." She knew some things about me. Because I've got things in my past that I shouldn't have done. I went to a Christian school. I was surrounded by these people that knew the Word of God better than me. I am an unlikely one, but here I am. I love the story because it's got so much detail, and it feels kind of silly when you're reading it. Why does he put all of these details in here? But I think the smallest details give us the biggest impact of this story. Jesus, while he was on this earth, every step he took, every person he talked to, was so intentional. And so when it says Jesus had to go through Samaria, Jesus grew tired and sat down by the well, I think this was an intentional move. And it continues to say it was about noon when he sat there. His disciples have left him here so that they can go into town to get him some food while he rests, but I think Jesus is waiting. He's on someone's path here at the well, and he is waiting for her. He knows that she is coming. But this woman is very much an unlikely one. She's walking to the well at noon. During this time, if you were going to take that walk to the well to get your water for the day, it would be early or maybe really late, but it would be before the heat of the day comes upon you. Because otherwise, you drink all your water probably going back to town. But this woman chooses to walk at noon because she has a reputation. She is an unlikely one because she's been living in sin in a very massive way. She's had 5 husbands, and the person that she's with right now is not her husband. And so the town knows this. The town judges her. They avoid her. They talk behind her back. They give her those glances. And so she walks to the well at noon by herself because she is avoiding those judgmental eyes. But this is where Jesus meets her. It's unlikely that Jesus should even speak to her, because as we've said, the women in the Bible are not usually mentioned. We don't know this one's name. But a man alone with a woman should not have spoken to her during this time period. She's also a Samaritan, and Jesus is a Jew. And the Bible even tells us, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So these hurdles that Jesus is jumping over, he's sitting at the well, he knows she's a woman, he knows she's a Samaritan, he knows her past and her present. But still, he sits here and waits for her and has something to say. Because God has a plan for this unlikely woman. Sally has been talking about the walk that she took while she was in Spain. I can't remember the name. I didn't pay close enough attention last week. It's the something like that. Whatever it's called, though. It's probably how well people pay attention to me, too. Whatever it is called, I'm sure most of us in this room are never going to take that walk. You are so lucky if you have or if you are going to, but most of us probably aren't going to. I'm probably not ever going to take that walk now that I've heard her stories. But I feel like maybe we've all taken a walk like this. This woman has walked to the well to avoid people. She's trying to get away from her past. She's trying to get away from the judgment. And so I wonder, have we made this walk ourselves, where we're trying to avoid people, or where we're trying to avoid our guilt, our shame, where we know our sin that we're hiding, and so we're avoiding talking about it. We're avoiding the people around us that love us. Maybe we're avoiding God in this walk. This is why I can relate to her. It's because I feel like there's things in my past I've done that would just disqualify me for ever being able to stand up here before you. I relate to her because God sat at a well and waited for me. And I was the most unlikely person that he should do that for. Jesus and this woman continue to have a conversation about water. She says, "Why are you asking me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. You shouldn't be doing this." And he says, "If you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for a drink, because I have a living water, and it'll make you never thirst again." And this woman who's walking to the well at noon, she's hot, she's thirsty, she has to do it in the worst part of the day. She's like, "You have a water that'll mean I'll never thirst again? Please give this to me." She doesn't quite understand what he's saying yet. But she goes on in their conversation, and eventually she says, "I know that there's one coming who's the Messiah, the Christ, and he will explain all these things that I don't understand." Jesus finally says to her, "Well, I am who you speak of." And at this point, the disciples interrupt their conversation by coming back with food. And they question amongst themselves, "Why is Jesus talking to this woman?" And so the woman runs off. But she doesn't run off out of fear. It's not because people have come up and scared her. She runs off because she has a mission now. Verse 28 says, "She left her water jug behind." The very purpose of this long walk in the middle of the hot day was to get the water. But she has left that need behind, because I think she's running back into town with something better. She has met the Messiah. And she runs into town not to go hide in her room because the town people don't like her. She instead leaves her fear behind. And she runs into town to tell everyone who has ever looked down on her or judged her, to say right to their faces, "You must come meet this man. I think I've met the Messiah. He knows me. He knows everything I've done. But he has told me of this living water." This unlikely woman, God had a plan for. So God waited at that well, told her, "I am the Messiah, and I have the water which this world cannot give you." And she doesn't keep it to herself. She lets it change her as it should. And she goes and she spreads the good news. And verse 39 says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This unlikely woman, God used. This unlikely woman let God use her. And a whole town came to know him because of her. A town that before would have looked down on her, not associated with her. She left her shame behind with that water jug and said, "No, you must come meet the Messiah." I hope you can relate a little bit to this story. If you feel at all like you are an unlikely one that God would never use. If you feel like I'm too young, God can't use me. Or I'm too old, or I'm too sick. I've got too much in my past, or I have too big of a sin that I'm trying to hide right now. The mountain I am trying to climb up is just too large. I am not one that God would use. I truly hope that you hear that with this story, God can use you. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded of all the amazing things that God can do through the church if the church just says yes to it. The Spirit is around us. It is everywhere in this room, and it is here to guide us, to light us on fire, so that when we leave this room, when we go out into the world, everyone around us should see God's love shining through us. Because the good news is just so amazing. The God that created this world loves each and every one of us. That is too great to hold inside. So today, whatever it is that may be holding you back from thinking that God can use you, I pray that you leave it behind at the well, so that when you go out of these doors, you go forward knowing, I may be an unlikely one, but an unlikely one just gave me a sermon. I may be an unlikely one, but God can overcome anything that I think is too big. And God can indeed use each and every one of you. We are the church together. And God has some amazing plans for us if we will just say yes. Will you pray with me? God, as we are gathered in your name as your church, would you fill us with your spirit of empowerment, God, so that when we leave this place, our eyes would be open to see the small moments where we can show your love. There are so many ways, Lord. Would you just encourage us? God, may we just spread your love in this world so that your kingdom may come here on this earth. Even if we are unlikely ones, Lord, would you make us brave to say yes? In your holy name, amen.